Welcome, you dutiful gamers, to another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, the show that appreciates the modern age of gaming while still adoring what's come before. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this retro journey, and today we are definitely seeking nostalgia 32-bit style as I provide some quick reviews of a bevy of import PlayStation and Saturn titles I recently purchased. Yep, no Dragon Ball retrospective this week as originally planned. That show will likely appear in the early new year. But that's only fitting. This is a gaming show first and foremost, so without further ado, let's take a look at some of these obscure diamonds in the rough sent all the way from Japan. So let's begin with a few PlayStation gems, and forgive my butchery as this first one is a mouthful. The first game here is Boken to Epatsu Daranbo, Time Bokan or Boken. I'm sure I screwed that up either way. I almost skipped reviewing this game completely for this very reason, but that would have been a pity. Indeed, this is one of the brightest, quirkiest shooters I've played in a long time. I can't say much for its plot, as it's all told through various anime cutscenes I can't really understand, but essentially, you're some cocky, pig-breasted femme fatale who fights her foes via land, tanks, and other vehicles modeled after pigs and other creatures. The designs are something right out of Mega Man, really, but now drivable from a bird's eye view. Yep, this is a traditional shooter through and through in which players maneuver one of the selectable craft through vertically scrolling stages of endless baddies, at least until one of the epic bosses show up. The nonsensical storyline, which I can't understand anyway, is told throughout the stage, meaning players are fighting as characters squawk to each other via tiny pop-up windows. It's all very charming and almost unlike anything we have ever seen in the West, then and now, and it really redeems a game that is merely serviceable in the gameplay department. The game's best gimmick is the ability to prime a bomb, holding it ready until the right moment. These bombs are endless in supply and do massive damage, but take a moment to ready and prepare, lending a modicum of strategy to what is ultimately a pretty breezy, silly experience. But considering I paid less than $20 for my copy off of eBay, it's an easy title to recommend. Next up is another colorful, whimsical shooter. This time it's Twinbee Yahoo or Yahoo Deluxe Pack. I'm not sure which of those two is correct. It's actually a compilation of two different games, the latter being an early arcade title known as Titana Twinbee. For those who don't know, Twinbee in general is a vertical shooter that involves moving a colorful robot-like ship across scenic landscapes, fighting cartoony enemies along the way. The fighting works on two tiers, with aerial enemies taken out by the usual gun, while land-based foes must be bombed in a way not unlike Namco's Xevious. This means flying relatively close to the menace and dropping a tiny bomb just right so that it hits the target squarely. Otherwise, it's a miss. TwinBee's main way to fame, however, is its multicolored bells. Yeah, it's as exactly as it sounds. Bells commonly bound around the screen, and shooting them eventually changes their color. Colored bells grant the player new abilities, from shields and greater firepower to a small legion of following clones. In truth, though, the main reason to play this is the same as the previous game I mentioned. It's just pure fun, packed with a charm rarely seen anymore, and a similarly wacky story. Of the two games included, I do think the newer TwinBee Aho is the superior of the two, but they're both worth a whirl. And lastly for the PlayStation, I'm anxious to gush about Poochie Carrot, a game, well, gushing with its own hypnotic charm and charisma. The easiest way to explain this one is to use Atari's Breakout or Taito's Arkanoid as a reference. Yep, you're a paddle batting a ball at, this time, rows of colored gems. But really, you're a cute princess or sultry cat seductress or some brazen lad out to prove himself. Most of the cast is indeed comprised of various cute girl characters, with a furry creature or tough guy thrown in for good measure. But whoever you choose, these vibrant personalities do much to enliven a surprisingly addictive game. Yep, I mentioned the ball and paddle gameplay, but that's only half the equation. Games like Puzzle Bobble require players to make matches before the screen gets too shrunk and cramped, thereby ending the game. It's the same here. Players only have so much time to attack those gems before the screen gets too crowded with additional rows of stones to break coming down, pressing the already existing jewels ever closer to the bottom. Should those stones cross a certain threshold near the paddle, the game is over. It's an interesting twist, forcing players to make every swat of that ball count, lest the screen drop too fast too soon. Missing the ball works the same way, dropping additional rows of gems faster than the player can probably handle. In fact, the game might be a bit too punishing. I can complete the beginner mode completely, but it's a crapshoot for the higher two difficulties. Nevertheless, this is probably one of the best Breakout-style games I have ever had the pleasure to play. The characters are wonderfully animated, showing a flurry of different reactions depending on player success, and there are plenty of modes to choose from too, including the must-try versus mode with another human player. Highly recommended. And now the Saturn. The first is a game many know about, Saturn Bomberman, and although I love the series, I have to admit to being mainly familiar with Super Bomberman on the Super Nintendo, so I was pleasantly surprised at how much more sophisticated both the stage design and artwork are in this rendition. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The key to this game's fame is its 10-player mode, which, with two multi-taps, mind you, allows 10 human players to bomb it out in a sprawling, if radically zoomed out, arena. It's a raucous, grandiose time lost on most modern gamers hooked on Fortnite and the like. But along with that battle mode is, of course, the standard story mode, I guess, which has Bomberman wandering around through different arenas in different lands, chasing a bunch of baddies. The gameplay here is a much more methodical version of the multiplayer, with Bomberman having to lay bombs at just the right time to destroy generally stupid enemies moving about. The graphics here, though, are bright and lush, with funny little idiosyncratic details never present in Super Bomberman. And lastly, there's the Master Mode, which tasks players to complete a gamut of stages without break, trying to get as far as possible before either death or making it to the end. All in all, I think this game is well worth owning, with one caveat: buy the Japanese version. This game was released in the US, but with a current price tag of hundreds of dollars. Save yourself the cash and just spend $30 on the Japanese version. Following that is Sonic Jam, another game released in North America but found for a lot less in Japan. This particular title always held a special mystique for me, as it is the only Sonic game to feature a fully 3D Sonic moving about a 3D world. A hub world, anyway. Yeah, as a sort of apology to Saturn fans who never got a proper Sonic, most don't count Sonic R, this title collects the four main Sega Genesis games, from the original Sonic the Hedgehog through Sonic and Knuckles. These games are ports, not emulated, which means Sega was able to add numerous tiny tweaks to the gameplay. The spin dash, for example, is now available in the original Sonic, and there's now a difficulty select to allow players an easier time through each of the adventures. The beginner mode is especially breezy, cutting most zones down to a single level. And yes, the lock-on tech from Sonic and Knuckles is supported here, too. Most interesting, though, is that 3D hub world, which gives players a what-could-have-been experience as they guide a chunky hedgehog through an environment obviously modeled after Green Hill Zone. It's an impressive distraction and clever way in allowing players to access the different extras the game provides, but there's not much to it, sadly. Which is truly tragic. The potential was certainly there for a legitimate 3D Sonic game, even if Sonic does move rather deliberately, read slowly, in his polygonal incarnation. But it's still a nice time capsule, all the same. Finally, we have Cotton 2 Magical Night Dreams, another cutesy shooter, or cute-em-up, to grace the system. Here, players sweep through fantastical environments as a cute witch, flying on a broomstick through swarms of enemies taken from various fairy tales, fantasy, and naturally, horror. The game is largely expressed in 2D art, but occasionally dips a toe in the polygonal realm for certain epic battles and the usually sizable boss fights. There are actually two versions of this game, the one named here and a later successor known as Cotton Boomerang. I have not played the latter, but general consensus seems to favor that one, claiming more balanced gameplay, better options, and the like. It's also rarer and more expensive, naturally. Either way, I enjoyed my time with this original incarnation, sighing again at the quirky antics often expressed via in-between stage cinematics that I can't really understand. And unlike the other shooters described here, the gameplay has a real hook beyond just being cute. By employing certain motions on the D-pad plus the appropriate fire button, Cotton can fire special shots that prove especially useful on higher difficulties. She can also ensnare enemies, then fling them back at other foes, sometimes igniting gratifying combos and the like. My only complaint, really, other than the special moves aren't as always easy to pull off as I'd like, is that Cotton herself is a wee too large, making dodging attacks a little more work than ideal. That said, I'd still say this is a keeper, but be forewarned, neither version of Cotton 2 is cheap. Both go for well over $100, and that might be more than what this relatively simple shooter is truly worth. And that's that, a grab bag of games I've been wanting to share for a long time now. Of all of these games, I do believe Poochie Carrot is my greatest fave, but all of these games are definitely worth a look. As I said, I will be taking Christmas week off now, but in 2 weeks I shall return, hopefully to share my thoughts on Numbskull's new Ms. Pac-Man and Galaxian Quarter Scale cabs. If not, well, they're still Dragon Ball or something else. Merry Christmas, everyone, and to all a good night. This is Mr. Picario signing off for now.